I've spent the last year putting the pieces of my life back together after I lost everything in my six-figure marketing business. So yeah, I loved that agency. And now I'm taking my decade plus of traditional marketing experience, combining it with the latest online marketing techniques and starting again from scratch. The question is, how will I do it? With the new challenges like cash flow, debt, and no team. This podcast is here to give you the answer. So join me and follow along as I apply and share marketing strategies to grow my online business using only the simplest, most uncomplicated methods. My name is Samantha Gooden, and welcome to Marketing Launch Radio. Okay, so welcome to Marketing Launch Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Ooh, like I feel like I want to break out in song because Brooke Evans is here with us today. Brooke Evans is, I can say proudly, Brooke Evans is one of my coaches. She's an amazing sales coach, and you'll soon find that out. But most importantly, she's an amazing human being. And with everything that she says, you know, one of the things that's completely stand out to me is the way that she ensures that her vibration and her energy are connected to her message and ultimately the breakthroughs that she brings into people's lives. So please help me to welcome Brooke Evans. You're gonna absolutely love her. Welcome, Brooke.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited and thrilled to be here with the good old Samantha. You're me.
Oh gosh, Brooke, thank you. You know, before I was coached, I used to be very afraid of coaches and the coaching process because of how it could unravel me. Mm. Have you ever found yourself in a place in your life where you were unraveled?
Yeah. So I think that we have unraveling moments, maybe not days, but like moments every day, or we can choose to let ourselves become unraveled, or we can choose to intentionally shift our mindset and our energy to stacking life in our favor. Mm. And I think that we would all be lying if we said that we didn't have like unraveling moments or days. But I think that it's the unraveling that helps us like have the opportunity to push through resistance and like really become the people that we're meant to become.
Okay, cool. And the person that you were meant to become, you have just a way of making sales very, very simple through the frameworks. But was it always this way for you?
No, it wasn't. In fact, let me take you back to a few years ago when it was just the opposite of this. So I don't know about you, but I got into entrepreneurship because like I had a mission and a passion and an excitement for service and fulfilling and help and seeing transformation in people's lives. I did not, however, get into entrepreneurship knowing that as an entrepreneur, I couldn't just be a genius in my zone of genius. I also had to be a genius in sales and marketing.
Yes. Oh!
So newsflash. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a much bigger game than I ever anticipated. And I don't think that you always know that going in, but that's the beauty of it. And so the first few years of entrepreneurship actually unraveled me. Just like we were talking about. And one of the biggest things that was hardest for me is my coaching and my fulfillment and the results that I was getting for my clients was so awesome. It was fulfilling. It was amazing. It was incredible to witness someone go from like A to B. What was not fulfilling was being on a cell phone for 11 hours every single day just to close one client because I not only sucked at sales, but I absolutely resented it.
Yeah.
I resented it. And then my sales experience, because I didn't have the capacity and I definitely didn't have the belief, led me to resent sales itself.
Okay.
And it led me to resent my business. And so it was, I mean, your girl's coming from a hard place, but now we absolutely love it. But that took a lot of time and a lot of coaching.
So tell me about, because you just put these two together in a very sexy way as I've started my note-taking. Capacity and belief. You didn't have the capacity and you didn't have the belief. you know, what did you need the capacity for, and what did you need to believe in?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Such a good question, because we often find that like in entrepreneurship specifically, it's either one or both that are missing, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it's not capacity that we're missing, the skill set to get to where we need to go. It's typically the belief, you know, that we are just not allowing ourselves to break through that glass ceiling because we don't believe in who we are, our message, or the service that we can provide for other people. So for me, it was one, I didn't have the capacity, meaning I just didn't have the skill set. Like, I had some innate things given to me. One of my superpowers that we'll maybe talk about briefly later is my ability to ask questions. So I can ask questions to a lot of people, and I can ask really great questions, but questions don't always get you to where you need to be, where that person is going, okay, Brooke, I want to work with you, and I'm 100% confident that you can help me. 546-865, you know, like that was not happening. And it was because so much of my experience with coaches, specifically in sales, were limiting my capacity because they were teaching me to be unauthentic, sleazy, slimy, and really manipulative. And they were also teaching me something that I didn't believe in. Two things. One, objections, and two, question asking. One, they were teaching me that the capacity, the skill set that I needed was, Brooke, okay, so once you get to the end of the call, you've given your offer, your biggest thing is you are going to have these list of objections. Let me give them to you word for word. Go to page 9 in your script. They're going to say this, 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 and this. And then you're going to overcome them by saying this, 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 and this. And I was like, this is totally canned. Mm-hmm. And no, I'm smart enough to realize that by the time I get to my offer and they're giving me those objections, those walls are already up, and I'm not breaking down those walls through being sleazy, slimy, making them to choose to go with me instead of talk to their spouse. Like, nothing's changing at that point. Mm-hmm. And then number two, these coaches and these other so-called experts and gurus in sales were also teaching me, Brooke, you do not talk on a sales call. You just ask questions. You just dig the pain. And I'm going, okay, so I'm doing that. My close ratio is 1 in 11. We're not changing anything. And most importantly, because we're on a marketing podcast, one of the biggest, most breaches, the biggest breach of my integrity was that my marketing was saying, schedule your breakthrough call, schedule your strategy session. And because I, quote unquote, couldn't talk, I could only ask questions and dive the pain. They were not getting breakthroughs, and they were not getting a strategy. So there was this disparity between my marketing and my sales. Mm. And that not only wasn't congruent in business, but it wasn't congruent inside me.
Mm. This kind of incongruence when it comes to sales, marketing, and messaging, for some reason while you were talking, I had a very clear visual of a laser, like an actual laser beam, right? And the need for us to have this kind of clarity come through everything that we do. Mm-hmm. So very often I talk about authenticity, but it sounds like this is even more than authenticity. This is congruence, I suppose, alignment between what we're saying and what we're doing and what we mean. So how would you recommend that we show up based on all that experience that you had? How do we show up on a sales call? We actually have talking to do and more than just question asking?
Yeah. So I think that first and foremost, a lot of the sales work needs to come before you actually pick up the phone. Mm. And that sales work needs to be that you yourself, as well as maybe a few other individuals, before you give this offer to people, it's really important that you have seen evidences of the offer or the quote unquote work working. Hmm. Because if you're trying to sell something that doesn't actually work, no matter what words you use that are really good on a sales call, your energy will never lie. And that energy that needs to be truthful and respectful and honest with people comes from your ability to see, okay, this isn't just, this wasn't just a fluke thing. Like, I know I got results, but I've seen patterns of even two or three people that have used this blueprint and used this framework, and it's worked for them because they showed up. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that all responsibility for people's success lies in your hand as a coach. Mm-hmm. What I am saying is that when people show up, not perfectly, but consistently with your blueprint, mm-hmm. it works and they get results. And I think the biggest trouble with sales is that we don't do the work before we get on the call.
So it sounds like we have to have confidence and belief in what it is that we're selling in yes. our offer, so yes. that we can transfer that belief at the point where we have the conversation.
Absolutely.
Okay. So part of this then sounds like part of it is product development. A part of it is the messaging and also the marketing setup, because you want to, wow. Okay, cool. So this is, I have these moments when I'm, you know, with you in one of your coaching sessions all of the time, because you reframe something that I may have thought before. So one of the biggest reframes you gave the other day is, for me, I'm going to rephrase what you said, but it's that a sales call is not a sales call.
Yeah.
In a sales call, we're really there to provide a breakthrough. So at the point of breakthrough, the decision to take out the credit card is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Could you expand on that a little bit? Because it really feels to me like it's also connected to this congruence and the work that you do even before you have the person on the call.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like we talk about how you enroll a prospect is how you will fulfill on that client. It is the same on their side. How you enroll, how you show up on a sales call is how you are going to show up in that program. If I'm showing up on a sales call just wanting to ask for money, and all I care about is that number and that credit card number, guess what kind of coach I am going to be inside that program? Mm-hmm. Only someone that asks for things but never gives anything. Mm-hmm. Our mantras on sales call and just in life in general, one of the biggest principles that I try and live by is that I give more than I take. And I'm not perfect at it. There are so many times that people are giving me way more than I could ever give them. But I will say that on sales calls, it's so important to go with the mindset of, I'm here to serve, I'm not here to sell. Because selling will naturally be a byproduct of good service. Now, what is good service? Good service is helping, and this is the objective when you go through my training of sales. Your number one objective on a sales call is not actually to get a credit card. Your number one objective on a sales call is to help individuals see things as they really are and as things as they really will be.
So good. So good. So that, I have this chill on the inside. That shifts the whole thing, because usually, like, I have felt very nervous about sales calls. I, you know, it's great. I can talk to people in general and actually inspire and educate. But at the point of the sales call, like, oh my God, what am I supposed to do? But yeah. It is this introduction of this concept that you have where, hey, guess what? If you truly serve, if you're really helping them to have a breakthrough, the next part is going to be easy. So don't even go in thinking, oh, the credit card is the true success. The true success is, just like you're saying, shifting their perception, how they see, helping them see things as they really are and helping them see things as they can be.
Yeah.
But who do we have to be to go on that call, Brooke?
Yeah. It's such a good question. I think that there are core principles that you need to show up with. Mm-hmm. One of them being, I am going to show up as someone that believes more in truth than I believe in, like, embarrassment. Now, what do I mean by that? I think it's really uncomfortable sometimes for people to show up on sales calls and ask the hard questions that allow people to see things as they really are. Mm-hmm. Allowing people to see things as they really are means that you need to lift up the rug and be like, hey, Like you've avoided all of this stuff in your life and in your business or with your health or with your marriage or whatever it is that you're selling. Tell me why this is so. I think that there are just not a lot of people in the world that are willing to not have their number one value be just love. Their number one value be trust. If I could care less if someone loves me on a sales call. I want them to trust me. And how they trust me is me being like, let me help you live in a better and a higher way. How do I do that? I invite them to look and see things as they really are, because the number one thing that prevents people from taking their next step forward in business or in life is always clarity. And it's clarity on what is going right and what is going wrong. And too often we don't have friends or family members or even coaches that are willing to stand up and say, okay, you've been avoiding this, or this hasn't been right, or these are your top three challenges. Let's talk about why you've created those problems for yourself. You know, like I think that we need to show up as people that are willing to ask the hard questions and willing to invite people to live in a better and a higher way. And oftentimes those questions are hard, because we're like, no, we don't want to embarrass them. Like we are so uncomfortable in people's uncomfortability, but we need to be comfortable in other people's uncomfortable, because that true uncomfortability for them is what will lead them to the next step in their life and their business and in their health and their marriage, or in their, you know, roofing service or in their marketing, to help them get to where they need to be.
Oh, okay. So I'm here writing notes, and there are things going through my mind, because so leading someone to the next stage of uncomfortable, knowing that ultimately it's going to help them to grow, it's something that perhaps you can help us with, the how we get that done. When I was a younger marketer and a younger manager, the way I would do that was very, very brash, you know, very, very harsh. And then I realized that I was actually breaking people. I was hurting people in so doing. Most of the times I'd get stuff done. In fact, I was a high performer and I got really great results. But in the, you know, I left people broken in my wake. And so then I went all the way to the other side, right? Very kind and open and understanding. In fact, there are people who knew me in my 20s and stuff, the way I was in corporate. They meet me now and like, oh, God, you're such a wuss. Like, whatever happened to you, you know? And finding this middle ground where you recognize that, I suppose, the growing pains are a requirement. So therefore, the uncomfortability, so to speak, is important to help the person to grow. But it takes courage to have those conversations, to hold the mirror up to somebody.
Yeah, it does. And I think that what allows it to be more comfortable is that every day you're holding the mirror up to yourself. I think that self-awareness is the greatest catalyst for growth.
Hold on, this is so very tweetable, quotable. Self-awareness is the greatest catalyst for growth. Wow. Okay, how do we become more self-aware?
Yeah, I think that, you know, start, stop, keep is our principles that I like to follow in my life and my business. Mm-hmm. And so every day, every Sunday, you'll see Brooke Evans in her office, and you will see her looking through patterns of her business that week, and then in life, and then in her, like, I have categories, you know, like in my physical life, in my spiritual life, in my business life. What are things that I need to start doing? What are things that I need to stop doing? And what are things that I need to keep doing in order to grow into the person that I know has the greatest potential and capacity for influence in the world? And I think taking time, especially as entrepreneurs, to set aside like divine time every single week, every single Sunday or every single Friday, whatever day that is for you, and being able to reflect on the past and project for the future. And how you do that is you have to have honest conversations with yourself about, okay, let's look at the numbers this week in business. What are those numbers representing? Okay, they're representing a lot of things. Brooke, because of those numbers, what do you need to start doing? What do you need to stop doing? And what do you need to keep doing in order to reach those goals so that you can do X, Y, and Z that you have the future goals of doing?
Wow.
I think that putting the mirror in front of ourselves every single week, at least once a week, is an incredibly productive pattern of living that will help us become better.
I'm stunned, is what I am. I'm stunned. Brooke, do you really do this every week, like every Sunday?
Yes, of course. Of course. Like how I desperately need it. Most of you don't, but like I desperately need it if I'm gonna be better. I have so many things that I need to change, and in order to really help serve my clients and my prospects that are coming onto the phone and even my friends and my family, I've got to show up. And how I show up is I have to have an awareness of where I might be going wrong.
How much time do we dedicate to this time, our divine time, so to speak?
Yeah. So it's typically an hour, and then typically, you know, it depends on how much work, so to speak, you need to do. I mean, most Sundays it's an hour of time. It also depends on like the belief work and the capacity work, right? Like when I look at my week and I'm like, wow, these are things that I need to change about myself that have happened in the past. A lot of times that work has to do with my personal belief, and like your numbers didn't show up this week because your belief wasn't showing up. So like, what are some things that you are going to project and do this next week in order to get better numbers? And so sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's four, but like we've got to be intentional about our lives and not reactive. And that takes a very specific time setting aside so that we not only plan to become better people, we actually plan for our weeks. That is just key. My week is planned out like 7 days before my week starts. And that's not just with personal development. That's with, okay, what are the three or four big things that you need to do and accomplish this week if you're actually going to get to where you want to go? So I digress, but I think that going back to sales, this putting the mirror in front of yourself before you ask people to show their mirror to them is critical. It's critical.
Brooke, I think this is all sales. And I think that there's been a misconception about sales this whole time. Mm. The mirror up, the self-awareness, the divine time that you're talking about, which is just a beautiful concept, which needs to be in your book, by the way. The book that you haven't told me that you're writing that you need to write.
I love it.
Having this divine time, because more and more I realize, as being an entrepreneur and being a woman who's an entrepreneur, our lives are not disconnected, right? So if we're mothers, the way that we are as mothers and we're showing up in the midst of our family is not different than the way we're showing up in our business or the way we're showing up in our marriages or our relationships. And yeah, because we are completely integrative beings, we can't just compartmentalize and think, oh, it's okay. So if I'm bad there, I'm going to be good in another place. And for me, you know, you talk about needing the divine time because of the, you know, the flaws. I have so many of them. Like right now I'm going through in complete transparency. So a few podcasts ago, I would have shared with you guys that I had to do my very first refund, which just kind of jarred me. And I've been going through so many challenges in order to get this client back their money, because first off, I've never had to do a refund before. And I recognize that all of the platforms that I've been using, they're good at taking money, but they're not so good at getting the money back, right? Mm-hmm. And I've gone through multiple ways of doing that. And so I've shown up for the client and said, hey, this is what's happening. But in the last like week and a half, I haven't had any new news. I've been like, what on earth am I going to say? What on earth am I going to say? And before I came on this call, call it maybe my own divine time, I've just been thinking that that's its own kind of avoidance. And if I don't show up with better energy for her to say, hey, guess what? I've tried. It's not that I'm not trying. I really am trying. I just don't know how. and even with that level, it requires me to have another level of authenticity and vulnerability. Yeah. That maybe that's what I need, even to become a better coach and a better person, right? And so I can't. This is my confession, and if you're listening, please, if you ever hear this, you know who you are. You know what I'm talking about. This is a huge lesson for me. Because I believe in reciprocity, even energetic reciprocity. Yes. So I can't afford to avoid this any longer.
Yeah.
And therefore, even that is a part of the sales process. Because a lot of times we think sales is getting the clients, onboarding them, you know, getting their money in. But a part of the sales process for me now is kind of like an offboarding. And I never really thought about what that looks like. So you've helped me with the reselling, which is how I re-onboard somebody. You talk about the onboarding. But just in case there could be someone who's also finding themselves challenged with this kind of avoidance or perfection or procrastination about making decisions, sales decisions, or, you know, calling that client that they think has said he's interested in them, but they're not sure. How, in your experience, have you found that we can get around, you know, I don't want to say get around, but face these things? How can we hold the mirror up to ourselves?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And I think it's really easy to hold. It's easier to hold the mirror up to yourself when you become aware of how you're acting, because how we do one thing is how we do all things. And if you really believe in that principle and you really understand that, then you're going to see that, like, okay, it's not just that you're showing up undecisive in this area, but you're also showing up pretty indecisive and avoidant in other areas of your life. And I think as we can become self-aware as to, like, what we're avoiding, I think that takes practice, because avoidance and procrastination, they're all just byproducts of where we're feeling the most resistance. And oftentimes where we feel the most resistance is where the greatest opportunity lies. And so our avoidance of things are actually, if we can reframe them and be like, wow, I'm avoiding that, but I'm avoiding it because there's resistance. Well, if there's resistance, this is an indicator to me that on the other side of this wall of resistance is going to be the gold. It's going to be the blessing. It's going to be the miracle I've been wanting in my life. There's resistance there for a reason, and there's avoidance there for a reason. But look at your avoidance and your resistance as one of your great new levels to upgrade to.
Yes, that's a pregnant pause. That is silence.
a pregnant pause.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Okay, Brooke, thank you. So, you know, if you haven't thought about it, having some kind of spiritual sales retreat is also something. It's not one of those things you've not told me about, but something that you should actually have. No, because, you know, I have unraveled in a very positive way by having this conversation with you, and I hope it's helped somebody who's listening today. But as I open up, even to myself in this particular matter, I ask, where else is this showing up in my life? The same way as I would for a coaching client. And that is a really powerful question. Where else is this showing up in your life? So we'll be listening out for the spiritual sales retreat, and also listening out for your book. But in the meantime,
can I just say something really quick about your vulnerability? I think that it is so cool, one, that you even had come to mind, because you do have that self-awareness. Like, you had this specific experience come to mind with this client, right, that you've been avoiding. And I think that is just an indicator to me that, like, the lesson on the other side of that experience is going to be one that pays you in more than just monetary value. Like, there is so much resistance there, because the lesson that you're going to learn is going to serve you and serve clients that you're going to teach and instruct and help. And I think that is a perfect example. Like, you did it on this podcast call. You did it didn't take you, your divine time didn't take you an hour. It just took you 1 minute. to have that aha moment and be like, whoa, like my energy is directing towards this focus of where I needed to change. And where that was with this specific individual that's asking for a refund that I've been avoiding. Well, how can I not avoid it? How can I step into that? And once you step into that, Samantha, you're going to see so many lessons that you learn on the other side that are going to change everything for you and for her, but not only for you and her, for future clients that you're going to have. Perfect example of divine time operating. Like you just did it. You just did it. Sometimes it doesn't take an hour. Sometimes it takes a minute.
Thank you so much. I wrote there, step into your resistance, step into the resistance. Yeah. Another area of really big resistance is just the sales process, and you know, the huff and fluff that's out there about what sales is. You have a unique approach to sales, and I would love for you to just share that with us, the way that it's reframed, the way that you have reframed it based on the experiences that you've shared with us so far. Yeah. So ultimately we want to collect the money, but we have to go through some kind of sales process. How do you recommend we do that?
Yeah, I recommend that you don't do it the way that I did, which was reviewing 1,024 of my own sales calls.
1,024?
But I don't recommend. I mean, it's great practice, but oh my gosh, your girl was bad. No, I recommend, you know, what I learned from that review of 1,024 is I learned that sales wasn't about just questions, and it wasn't just about listening, and it wasn't about just micro commitments, and it wasn't just about framing, and it wasn't just about diving into the pain and future pacing for their future. You know, all those things are great. And yes, I do teach specific frameworks for those things because they're important. What I learned sales was about belief. It always comes down to belief. And I think that if we as individuals can recognize, as Russell Brunson states, that all of us have three different beliefs. We have vehicle, internal, and external beliefs. And what we believe regarding time, money, people's product, and our confidence in using it, what we believe specifically about that affects our actions and determines our results. And so if you're naive enough to think that your prospects are not showing up with false beliefs, that is the very reason you're getting no's and objections, because objections are never rejections. Objections are just seeds of disbelief that you haven't changed through story.
Objections are not rejections. Objection is just disbelief that you haven't changed through story. So the story.
Yeah.
The story is a big part of selling.
Yeah.
The story selling. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, I can't believe we've been here so long already. It's like, oh my God, I really want to have you back. Tell us a little bit about story selling before we wrap this up.
Okay, so I use something called the memoir method, and it was because I learned this method after reviewing 1,024 of my sales calls. Just to give you a brief description of this, I recognized that the ones that I was closing, the pattern that kept showing up for the ones that gave me their credit card without any objections were the ones that I actually, what I believe, transferred my belief. And then, so like, I went an entire week after understanding this pattern of being like, okay, the ones that I closed on this 1,024, the ones that I closed were the ones where I transferred belief. So this next week, my close ratio up to this point is 1 in 11. This next week, I'm going to crush it. This is going to be the thing. And I go into the next week and I'm like, I'm going to transfer my belief, and I'm just going to tell them all the stories. And I did it. And sad news was that my close ratio did not change. 1 in 11, it stayed. What did I learn from that? You can't transfer belief. Just because I believe something doesn't mean that I can force you to believe something. So I had to create a method, because I wasn't doing it intentionally on those calls that I was closing. What was I actually doing? What was the framework that I was using to be able to change belief? Because it can't be transferred, but it can be changed. Well, belief is upheld by story. So if I can create a framework for telling really good stories that prevent people from having false beliefs about my product, about their ability to use my product, or about time or money, I can help them change their beliefs. Because the very reason they are on the sales call with me is because there are false beliefs that are operating in their life that are causing a lack of results. That is the reason they're on the call. So let's get on the call. And it was after that week that I was like, I'm coming up with a framework. So I came up with a framework called the Memoir Method, where it's a step-by-step process of how you actually tell story in such a way that changes belief. And when you change belief, you change attitudes and behaviors. And when the behaviors change, the results change. So by the time I got to the end of the sales call, it was like, okay, do you want to hear my offer? And they would hear my offer. And then instead of me being like, okay, so like, what are we going to do? Oh my gosh, this is so much money. I'm so uncomfortable off like telling the price, da, da, da. They'd be like, okay, Brooke, like I'm ready to go. How can I pay you, Visa or MasterCard? And they were asking me, and there were no objections. In 1 week, my close ratio went from 1 in 11 to 1 in 3.
Wow.
And this was because I implemented something called the Memoir Framework. Now, it didn't take a week to get there. It took 3 years to get there, right? Mm-hmm. Of failing forward, right? And so it's so important that we show up on these sales calls, recognizing that it's not about our product. It's not about our questions. It's actually about their belief and our ability to not just believe in ourselves, our product, investments, time, money, and their ability to use it. It's literally helping them to see it as well.
Okay. So if I were to summarize this fantastic time we've been spending together, the sales call is really about us. When we show up, our desire, our mission is to provide breakthroughs for our clients and ultimately help them with their belief. And yes. as we help them to have breakthroughs and also shift their belief through story, this yes. is where this amazing, phenomenal sales experience happens. And it's going to be an experience. It's not just, hey, slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, give me that credit card. It is actually going to be, yeah.
I love that you said that. Yeah, when you transfer your own paradigm shifts with sales this way, it goes from being an event on the phone to an experience with a human. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is so powerful. And that's why we're here anyway. I mean, if you were to listen to my client's sales calls now, you would not be able to differentiate between their sales calls and their coaching calls with their clients. The only thing that's different is a transaction with one.
Wow.
Payment.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Brooke, the world needs to know who you are. Please tell us, how do we find you? How do we get more of this beautiful Brooke Evans energy?
Yes, you are so kind to ask. So I'm going to give you some links that you can put in the podcast below if you want. You can also find me. Let me just look this. You can also find me at my free Facebook group.
Okay. Yes, please. So I've got one-on-one coaching with you. There's an opportunity to get one-on-one coaching, which I recommend everyone should do.
Yes.
I'm seeing here that you've also got a free training. What?
Yes.
There's free training.
Yes, free training. And you can find that at that website that's in there as well that I've given you. You can also find me at my free Facebook group that is High Ticket Sales Training for Online Entrepreneurs.
Okay, so this one, I want to make sure I write down correctly. So that's High Ticket Sales Training
for Online Entrepreneurs.
I'm not in there yet, so I am definitely going to get myself in there right after this. for those of you who are listening, if you are interested in Brooke's free course, we've got coachingcloser.com/free-training. So that's coachingcloser.com/free-training. And I'll make sure that link is included here. And if you're interested in having a one-on-one coaching session with Brooke, which I highly recommend, the link for that is also going to be right here for you. Brooke, I can't say enough. I can't say enough thanks to you just for the way that you show up. for my own kind of confessional state coming through this, which is just a form of self-awareness. I'm very happy that you did this, but also that you've shifted my belief and my understanding of sales. It's not something to be afraid of. It's actually something to step into, because when we step in and we embrace that we're there for breakthrough and for belief, we get breakthroughs too, and we shift our own belief. So thank you for that.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Okay, guys, thanks so much for listening here to Brooke Evans. This is Marketing Launch Radio. I will see you on the next one.
If you're listening to this, then you're probably in one of two scenarios. Either you're a woman with a great talent who's ready to launch your personal brand but isn't quite sure how to take the next step, or you're running your own business, you've got some marketing happening, ads going, and content. Maybe you've even got an agency, but things aren't clicking just right, and you're trying to tie all the pieces together. Well, if you want my help or just want to get an idea of what it's like to work with me, then just go to unlockyourbrandnow.com. Mm-hmm. I believe in simplifying marketing and making it a process that's very, very easy. But I'm also on a mission to help every woman that I can launch her personal brand or her business brand in 21 days or less. So go to unlockyourbrandnow.com and go check it out.